Kyle Newbeck joins us right now, Philly voice, my favorite 76er beat writer. What's up, Kyle?
Good morning, John. I think this might be the earliest in the day you and I have ever spoken.
Yeah.
Night shift together.
I'd see you at 6 or 7 o'clock. Yeah,
Kyle,
for sure.
Loves coming on in the morning. I can just tell you that from all the conversations I have with him.
Mm. Well, Kyle, the million-dollar question is, what do the 76ers do going forward? And I know a lot of that is controlled by James Harden and his player option, but what do you think Daryl Morey wants to do in this situation? Not that, like, what do you think if he could do what he wanted to do? Do you think that he actually wants to extend Harden to a long-term contract?
I do. I think James Harden is his guy. Like, I think when they made that deal – at the deadline, it was not a, hey, we're going to bring him in and see what happens. It's a, I'm getting the guy who I had all this success with in Houston, and, you know, we're going to set this up as if it's a long-term partnership, and it's basically an extension of the partnership that they had in Houston. Now, to your point, obviously, that's under the pretext of James Harden being the guy that he was in Houston, or even the guy that he was in the first, you know, let's say, 2-3 months where he was in Brooklyn and he was a dark horse MVP candidate last year. But that guy hasn't shown up. Like not only, you know, we talk a lot about his efficiency and, you know, what he's lacking as a scorer, he's got to actually be willing to take shots to actually be able to score. And that has been, weirdly enough, a big problem for him, despite the fact that he used to be a regular 30-point-per-game guy. So, you know, if the concept of this team is going to be built around Joel Embiid and James Harden, then James Harden has to be the James Harden that he's been for most of his career. And, you know, I think all of us would say we haven't really seen that guy yet.
So what happened game six? He takes two shots in the second half. He's 0 for 2. He's asked afterwards about it. He said the ball just never came back around to me. Was he moping? Was that just an extension of game five where Embiid kind of came out pouty and he was upset about the MVP stuff possibly? Why was Harden playing and acting the way he was in game six?
I mean, first of all, what an insane suggestion from him that the ball didn't come to him. He runs the offense. You can call the plays and say, you know, I'm calling my own number. I think, honestly, it's as simple as this has happened with this guy in a few big moments in his career. He's never been embrace the spotlight, come up and dig down deep when it matters most. He's had a few of these where, you know, the second halves of big games, he just is not really all there. And, you know, I do think, to your point, I do think that the team collectively just sort of the floor dropped out at some point. I think you could make excuses for him and say, you know, it's one thing after another. There's all the Joel injury. Danny goes down early in that game, and that's a pretty devastating injury that he suffered. But, you know, I think it was a testament to the fact that this group only came together in February, and they've had no time to, you know, build any kind of playing through diversity and this, like, team togetherness. And so when things got tough, they just folded. And, you know, whether they're going to moving forward is another story, but I don't know who the guy is that's going to put their hand up and say, don't worry, everybody, I got this, because none of their best players have proven to this point in their careers that they're going to be that sort of player in the playoff.
Yeah. It feels like we're playing pretend when we say, well, James Harden can come back next year in good shape. He won't have the hamstring injury. He'll come in the best shape of his life, and he'll return back to the player that we've seen. The, as Embiid called him, the Houston Harden. Do you believe we'll ever see the Houston Harden again, Kyle?
No, you know, I don't think it's realistic for him to be the 30-point scorer again when a lot of these games he's struggling to get the 20 points. I do think he can probably get closer to that guy. I think, you know, those hamstring injuries, Chris Paul suffered some very similar injuries towards the tail end of his run in Houston, and it took him a good, you know, year and a half, 2 years to get back to the guy that he was for most of his career. But even now, like, you can see in the playoffs, Chris Paul gets worn down. Granted, he's older than James Harden, and, you know, he doesn't have that burst to get by guys, and he turns into either he makes shots and makes threes, or, you know, he's not as effective. So, you know, if that's what James Harden's game is going to be, that he has to hit the step back three to have a good scoring night, that's just not
good
really
luck.
A reasonable path to success.
Kyle Newbeck, Philly voice. So what's the plan? Brian Windhorst is saying that Daryl Morey has these big plans. He's going to go out and get another superstar. I mean, if they can't get Bradley Beal, are they running this back with the same team and just crossing their fingers that they could be better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be the exact same team. I think they're certainly going to try to beef up and get some more tough, defensive-minded players, which, to Joel Embiid's point, which you made after the game at exit interviews, they really have not had many of those kind of bruising, tough guys like P.J. Tucker during his career here in Philadelphia. I think it's something they were sorely missing. When they end up in these like street fight-type games, they're not really built for them physically and mentally anymore. And so they need guys who are going to come in here, play with an edge, give them options against, you know, the Jimmy Butlers of the world, where they can force the ball out of his hands or at least make him work for some of his baskets. Like, Jimmy just had such an easy time in that series. You know, I'm not convinced, even if they're able to, obviously, if you can make a good deal for Bradley Beal, I think they'll make it. I think Daryl is always going to be, you know, stars are what wins in the playoffs, and if we get more of them, that's better. But, you know, I'm not convinced that loading up on, you know, another perimeter guy who doesn't defend anybody is what this team needs.
John and I were talking about that before the show, that I said, you know, they're star hunting. Brett Brown was star hunting. Daryl Morey's star hunting. And I'm watching a Miami team that really has, what, one star? Not a superstar, but one star. Two guys in the backcourt who weren't even drafted. I mean, it's...
Eight undrafted players.
Yeah, at some point you have to build a team. You can't just throw a bunch of stars together and go, well, I hope this is going to work.
Yeah, look, like to the Bradley Beal point specifically, I think offensively there's a ton of merit to bringing a guy like him in. Like, I think he can shoot off a movement. He can be a secondary creator. He can do all kinds of stuff for you that they don't have, and they certainly don't have at the level that he provides it at. But the other end of the ball, he's a totally apathetic defender. He's not going to help you there. And, you know, you add another guy like that on a team that clearly buy-in was a big problem on top of everything else at the end of the season. It's like, well, how are you, unless you're asking Joel Embiid to basically, like, take a step back on offense and be the defensive player of the year type guy every night, which that's an even bigger ask in the playoffs. I don't know what your path to having a good defense is. So, you know, I think they need to get more guys who are, you know, stars in their role versus, you know, top-end star-level players.
Do you believe Joel Embiid was pouting before Game 5, as reported, because he didn't win MVP, and that affected him not only that morning, but it affected him in the game, and it had a trickle-down effect to his teammates?
No, you know, I don't think Joel showed up with the proper, you know, mindset or whatever you want to say to that game. I don't think it was MVP-related stuff, though. The reporting that went out about, you know, how he acted at shoot-around, that's Joel at shoot-around with the media, basically, every single shoot-around. He does not want to be bothered. He's kind of off to himself. Then he, you know, once the practice gets going, you don't hear anything about him sulking through practice or anything.
Right.
So I think that part has maybe been overblown. But I do think, like, you know, regardless of whether I understand he played through a ton of stuff, and I commend him for that. I think that wanting to be out there is great. But you also, if you're going to be out there, you are responsible for leading the team. If that's who you are, that's your responsibility. That's your job as the guy who gets paid all this money to be the franchise guy. And I, you know, to Joel's credit, at least after the series, he had the easy out. Like, you guys know, people in this town do not exactly love Doc Rivers.
No.
And he got asked a question about the coaching staff. And Joel said, look, at a certain point, it's on the players. We have to stand up. We're getting paid, you know, tens of millions of dollars. We're professionals. We shouldn't need coaches to motivate us or other people to motivate us. And so I hope that that's a sign of Joel's improved maturity. And I hope that, you know, if and when they get back to this moment next year and the years to come, that he's simply healthier and better able to lead them in the playoffs. Mm.
Which is the perfect segue to the last question. The percentage chance that Doc Rivers is back as the 76ers head coach next year?
I think it's more likely than not. I think here's what I would say. This is a two-front thing. I think, one, I don't think they're especially trying to get Doc out of here. Like, I've heard nothing to suggest that They're looking for excuses to get rid of him. I think that by and large, they think he's done a pretty good job handling everything. I do think there's a little bit of Doc protest too much, where they're being very forceful about what they're saying with the knowledge that, you know, the Lakers have been rumored to have interest potentially in Doc coaching their team. And if it gets to a point where Doc becomes a real candidate for that job, they can say, well, look, we're not trying to get rid of him. We don't want him to go. And if it gets to that point that Doc does want to leave for that, which I'm not saying he does, then they have maximum leverage in that moment, and they can, you know, instead of just letting them go, they can get a pick out of it or whatever it is. So I think there's a little bit of that in it too, but I think more likely than not, he's going to be back here coaching the Sixers next year.
I agree with you. Kyle Newbeck, Philly voice. Read him. Follow him on Twitter @KyleNewbeck. Kyle, great stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
All right.